This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors, and we're here this morning just to do that. So, the muzzleloader contest for the great CVA muzzleloader, CVA.com, if you'd like to check out the full selection, is ongoing. We're taking your calls for that, and the rules are simple. Call in, leave your name and number, go on the air with me. Very simple. Just go on the air. You can say hi. Just want to get in the contest. Hope I win. Love you. Hate you. Go away. Never, you know, I never want to hear your voice on the air again. That's fine. You're still going to be in the contest. We don't disqualify you for. But hey, if you're in the Christmas spirit and, you know, you feel like making a contribution to the Maryland Hunting Coalition and call me up and say, hey, Alan, I just sent you, you know, $400 for a table of eight for the coalition dinner coming up, or you know, I just bought tickets for the Kubota, you know, RTV. Well, you know, that'd be great, but that's not a requirement. The only requirement is simply this: you call 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, and when Chris answers the phone, you simply say, "Hi, this is Bill, Bob, Ed, Fred, Joe, Nancy, Martha." Don't say any of that. Just tell them what your name is. And then, you know, my phone number is whatever. And I just want to get the muzzleloader contest. And we're good. Then he'll put you on hold, say, "Stand by for Alan." I'll say, "Hey, good morning, Ed, Fred, Nancy, you get it." And we'll go from there. Sound easy enough? You got that, Chris? You cool on those details? No struggle there, right? I mean, there's always a challenge that I didn't explain myself correctly. You got it. Okay. Well, now let the ringing begin. Hi, folks. Hope you had a great week. I had a good week. A great week, actually. I actually worked one or two days this week. I did. And I was in Southern Maryland. What day? Thursday. I was all on the shore a couple days. Hunted. Tuesday afternoon, I think, saw one deer. I've got one deer in particular that I saw, on opening day after legal shooting time. I told you about it last week. It was a dandy, a big bodied deer. I saw the yellow rack buck with a doe, and then I saw Wee Grande. I call him Meester Beeg, you know, referencing back to my days with Rocky and Bullwinkle and Boris Bedinov and Natasha Fatal. Yeah, you remember. You remember Meester Beeg? You don't? You remember Fearless Leader? Meester Beeg was bigger than Fearless Leader. He was the big guy. But he was about that tall. But he cast this big, nasty-looking shadow on the wall. Anyway, Meester Beeg, that's the buck I'm after. But I was in the stand yesterday evening, got in there about 2 o'clock or so. And as always, right in the last half hour, two does came by about 80 yards, and one stopped and stood, and I got a good look at her. And her hocks were black. Her tail was halfway out, so I knew she was in heat, followed by another deer. And, I got all excited. It was another doe. Also in heat, and I said, man, this can't go on forever without a buck behind him. And sure enough, there was a buck about four-point, something like that. I can't tell you. But when I saw, you know, what his headgear was, I just didn't pay any more attention. So off they went, and I kept waiting, and had a couple minutes left, and I looked down, and there where I saw Meester Beeg, A deer walked out. Here he is. Well, it was a yellow rack buck. And it turns out his rack wasn't exactly yellow. It was whitish. And he had three little tiny points like your fingers on one side and kind of went up. And then the other side was a little bit taller with two points on it. It looked really weird, kind of. And I thought, he's young. Maybe he'll straighten out. But maybe not. So he walked by 25 yards, and I let him walk. And he got out in front of me a little bit. I think he caught my wind and blew out a little bit. But he didn't go far. And then I just kept waiting till ran out of time, ran out of light. That was it. So, Mr. Big is still alive. Let's talk about, hey, Mike, how are you? How are things in Calvert County?
Good, not Howard. I'm hunting Talbot.
Oh, Talbot. Okay, what's up, Mike?
Nothing. I just wanted to ask you, what's any major changes in legislation this year regards hunting? If I remember last year, I think there was an issue about extending the use of firearms during the primitive weapon season. Is anything like that going to happen?
No, that's not going to happen. No, that did not happen, not going to happen. They wanted to add another week of firearm season, and they would have already added it in the early season. That's that second week of doe season is where that was being considered, where it was antlerless deer only.
Okay.
The hunting community said, no, that's not going to happen, and it didn't. We had upcoming... Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the Maryland Horse Council has made it known that they continue to stand in opposition against Sunday hunting, and they're likely to introduce a bill to end all Sunday hunting at 10 o'clock in the morning.
And then they want to
bring back the cooperation with the Maryland Farm Bureau, the market hunting bill that would allow farmers to shoot deer on their crop damage permits and turn them into a cash crop. And we stand strongly against that. There are a couple Sunday hunting possibilities we heard of out there, expanding in Kent County. We haven't seen that bill yet, perhaps in Talbot County and definitely in Montgomery County. So we'll see what happens.
All right, another question. Now, I'm not sure, I didn't check the dates about the mini turkey season. Now, if it overlaps part of deer season and you've been baiting corn, how are we supposed to handle that situation?
You handle that by as long as the turkey and you are located, as long as the turkey that you are targeting and you are over 150 yards away from the bait,
okay,
you're good to go.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You got it. And that bill was passed. Actually, that was just a regulation. That was not a bill.
So, oh, okay.
I mean, it was a bill. It got withdrawn because it was handled by a regulation, which was certainly within DNR's prerogative to do. So.
I see. Okay.
All right.
Well, we have better luck today.
All right. Well, you know, Mike, you can always get a copy of the book and read the rules.
Oh, I do. I have it. I just don't have it available to me right now. I'm just wondering about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate the call, though.
You have a great day.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Yes, indeed. Man, I'll tell you, growing up as a kid, the Pennsylvania Hunting Digest, I think it was Rules Digest, was a little thing about 4x4. Maybe you remember it. You could pack it in with your hunting license. It was that small, and you always had to carry your hunting license on your back in a little holder, and you had that little rule book, and you could tuck it right in there behind your hunting license, so you always had it with you. But that thing, man, when I was a kid, I'd grab that thing, I'd read that from cover to cover. I'd know everything. I'd know all the rules and regulations, and especially what pertained to me with, you know, rabbit hunting seasons and squirrel season and grouse and pheasant. And then, of course, the deer season. Pennsylvania was pretty simple. One and done. You shoot a deer anytime, it's over for you. And I'll never forget when I was 16, I got my first deer. Shot a button buck with my bow. It was a Browning Cobra recurve. All honey badgers out there, pay attention. I shot a Browning Cobra when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. So, and the Cobra was deadly. Yes, it was, at least once. But that was my first deer. It's on the website if you want to see it, ellisoutdoors.com. Yeah, I've got it hanging there with the bow over my back. It's pretty cool. Anyway, and then I couldn't hunt in firearm season. So, you know, I went to my uncle's hunting camp for my first and last time. And, you know, that was an interesting experience. But, boy, when everybody went out and came back in a day and told their stories, all I could do was listen, couldn't participate. So, oh, well. Let's talk to Stephen in Baltimore City. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
How you doing, Alan? I'm a fan of the show. Oh, I wanted to get into the contest.
Okay. Did you tell Chris that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, you're in for December. We're taking the entrance for the December winter, which will be our last month. So,
is that right?
Yeah, we're gonna call the name of the November winter today here. So,
yeah.
So anyway, what's on your mind, Stephen?
Not a whole lot, but the thing about that Sunday hunting, I think they should allow you to do that.
Yeah, we do too.
You know, if the working man has a son or daughter, and that's the only time he gets a chance to.
I don't disagree at all.
To do that, you know.
I don't disagree at all. I think it should be statewide for every species in every county.
Yeah.
And no limit on the time of day, and you know, just during the hunting season, let's just have it. What's the deal? What's the big deal?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't see the big deal in it.
Right, right.
Okay, I am a fan of the show.
Well, I appreciate that, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll see you.
Okay, buddy, thanks. Bye-bye. There he goes. Chuck. Hey, Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. Didn't see Mr. Big, but I did identify the yellow rack buck yesterday.
Yeah, well, you got my email last night with a picture of the bear, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yes, I did. So he's back, huh? Well, he never left, really.
What's that?
He never left, really.
Yeah, never left. Yeah, but at least he isn't going after my feeder now.
No. No, you have answered a time-old question, and you found out they like apples.
Yes, he does.
How about that?
Actually, there's two piles of scat. One from Wednesday night before the apples, and one from Thursday night after the apples.
Oh, well, I bet it was easy to identify on Thursday night what he was eating.
Yes, it was.
How about that? Oh, good grief! Yeah, I don't remember anybody's ever texted me a picture of bear scat. Not in my recent memories.
Well, I like being the first at something.
Yeah, well, you indeed, you're one of a kind. That's for sure, Chuck.
Yeah.
So, hey, are you going to ATA?
No, not this year.
Oh, okay.
He's taking less people this year, so since I've been the last few years, he's not taking me.
I got it. Gotcha.
But I'll find out who's going. I'll get them to send me one of those programs.
Well, not. I might go. I haven't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't determined yet. I might just go this year. We'll see. I have to talk to them and see what their restrictions are. So.
Right.
You know. So anyway, what's up with you other than the bear? That was pretty exciting.
Going out for the last day of rifle.
Yeah. Yep.
It was a little cool this morning.
Well, it was nice and cool yesterday. They took two. They took two 4 points off the farm yesterday. I'm not sure if they're aware of the antler restrictions in Maryland. I just want to make a folks aware of that there are still antler restrictions, 3 points on one side for, what is it, two of your three deer?
No, it's your last deer.
Oh, it's only one? I thought it was two.
I think, yeah. If the first two doesn't matter, or else, you know, it could be 2 points or less.
Yeah.
But the third deer has to be three on one side.
Okay, well, it really doesn't matter to me because I don't shoot anything with under 3 points anyway, and you know, I mean, I could if I had to, if there was a reason to do it, you know, an injured animal or something like that.
Right.
But in general, I'm pretty selective anyway. I don't need a lot of meat, and if I want a deer for meat, I'm going to shoot a doe anyway. So.
Right. Well, I'm still trying to get one more for the freezer.
Yep.
But and I haven't seen any bucks around lately, even on my camera. So
wow. Well, maybe this morning with that cold weather.
Well, yeah, but the whole season they haven't been there.
Look, I haven't seen a lot. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of deer.
Huh? Where I can see them.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, good luck out there, buddy.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to drive and hold my phone. Hold on.
Oh, don't do that. That's illegal, Chuck. Don't you have a Bluetooth?
Okay.
Don't you have a Bluetooth?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll inform the state police that you are on, let's see, where you're on route 70 headed east in towards Baltimore City.
Yeah.
How's that? That better?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, tell them to go look out that way.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, so. Well, just want to give you a call this morning.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Yep. See you later.
You got it, Chuck. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. I messed that up. Sorry, Chris. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Should we take a break? We should? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, it's rebate time. It's rebate time on all the Browning firearms. And we started telling you about this last week, but I'll try to find it again. Let me look here real quick what it was. I had it all printed out real nice and pretty, and you know how things go. You know how things go. But anyway, Clyde Sports Shop is your full-line Browning dealer. I do know, there it is, that there's $100. It's called Winter Gunderland. You like that? Winter Gunderland. Very clever, kind of. I'm not sure who does the promotions for Browning, but I'm not sure I'd go with Gunderland. Hey, whatever. Let them do what they want to do, right? Oh, come on. Give me a second. There it is. That's what I was looking for. $100 rebates on shotguns at Clyde's Board Shop. Any Browning dealer, but Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. So if you want to buy a 725 Satori Sporting Clays for, you know, shotgun sports, 100 bucks off. Gold light, 10-gauge, in Mossy Oak camo, 3.5-inch chamber gas-operated autoloader, 100 bucks off. BPS pump, 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, 10-gauge, 12 and 20-gauge deer models available, bottom ejection, Mossy Oak camo, 100 bucks off. A5, 100 bucks off. On rifles, like the X-Bolt, the Hell's Canyon Speed, or the standard X-Bolt in all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers, 75 bucks off. $50 off on the A-Bolt 3 I've been telling you about, the AB3, which is the package gun, basically. A beautiful walnut stock, and it's nice wood. I mean, it's not just, you know, scrap. It's nice-looking wood. Beautiful blued barrel, factory-installed Nikon Buckmaster 4-12 scope, 243 7mm 08, 308 270 30-06 7mm Remington Mag 300 Win Mag, $50 off. The 1911 22 pistols are $50 off, and $25 rebate on Buckmark pistols. It's good till the end of December at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the redneck blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
The spirit's in the outdoor sun. I want you to know it stirs up in the autumn when north winds start to blow. Something in my memory calls back to what I hear. When the ducks take wing to fly, son, it happens every year. Your grandpa told me about it, son, now I'm telling you. It has the feel of frosty winds, a glint of green and blue. And if you...
All right, we're back. Let's talk to Richard in Westminster, Maryland. Good morning, Richard. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well. What's up?
Oh, not much. I'm just heading to my hunting spot. I called last week and, I was asking you your opinion on the 270 versus 308.
Yep,
caliber.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember, but anyway, I went out last Saturday. I was on my way to my spot then also, and I managed to harvest a real nice short doe. With my muzzleloader.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Congratulations.
It was kind of a, it was one of those thread the needle shots. It was, I either was going to take the shot or I wasn't. I knew the shot wasn't going to improve because she had pretty much made me.
Yep.
And, she was coming across the ridge and I could see her, and then it gets real thick and viney and stuff like that.
Yep.
Pretty much disappeared. And I'm thinking, I waited. I'm thinking, where in the world did this deer go? And I went to reach for my binoculars, and as soon as I did, I could see white, and then she turned to face me. She was looking right at me.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, there she is. She just stopped moving and disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And then I held on her, and she went right down.
Now, was it a broad? Was it a broadside shot or a front shot?
It was a shot I normally don't like to take, Alan. It was a quartering toward me shot.
Yeah, I don't like those shots, but usually with a muzzleloader or a firearm, you can make that shot.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't even like to make it thin, but I was holding on her for so long, I was debating, do I squeeze it, do I not squeeze it? And then I thought, I'm going to do it, man, because I'm still needing meat at the time.
Yeah.
And I squeezed it off, and I was so relieved to see those blades. They just went straight up in the air.
Yep.
I mean, she just fell right there.
That's good. And, you made a good shot.
Very fortunate for me.
On that shot, where did you hold?
I held right above the front shoulder and a little bit behind.
Right above and a little bit behind. Hmm.
just a little above the front shoulder, and that's right where I hit her.
Okay, and stoned her. Well, you took the high shoulder shot, and apparently it worked out. Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was happy that it was a good clean kill, and
if a person knows how to shoot and knows the anatomy of the animal and has a good solid rest, I don't you know, hold anything against anybody that takes any shot that they feel that they're capable of putting a fatal shot on a deer.
Yeah, it wasn't what I would call a high percentage shot.
No.
And like I said, it wasn't a shot I normally would like to take.
Right.
But I honestly hadn't seen the deer all morning.
Right, right.
It really should have no bearing on the decision, but it's getting late in the year, and as we all know, the weather can change at any time, and I just still needed some meat in the freezer. So,
well, You made an excellent shot. You made a judgment call. It worked out in your favor. Congratulations. That's how it goes.
Yeah, it was one of those shots I'd have been kicking myself if it hadn't worked out in my favor, though. You know what I mean?
Well, I've had a few of those, too, you know?
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
I've had a few of those, too. So.
Yeah, well, I'm going out this morning mainly for a sit. It's going to have to be your Mr. Big for me to pull the trigger this morning because I've got that nice body 8-point I took the first week, and then the nice doe last week, and I had a roadkill I found on actually opening day.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You took a buck and a doe?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have your bonus? They're not shoot a buck. You probably ought to concentrate on taking another doe.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't even give that a thought.
Just trying to keep you straight, brother.
Wow, I'm glad you said something, Alan. Maybe I'll just be going out for a nice sip. I love sitting in the woods.
So do I, buddy. So do I. Well, you enjoy it out there. I'm glad I saved you a ticket. That would have been a costly one.
I appreciate it, Alan.
All right, bud.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. How about that? Yeah, interesting. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to have you. this is a press release from the Maryland Natural Resources Police. Came in this week, December 7th, a couple days ago. Trespassing complaint in early November led to charges being filed Friday against a Frederick County man. William Michael Strange, 54 years old. 54. Should have known better. Received citations for hunting without a license, failure to field tag a deer before moving it, failing to report the kill to the state, failing to complete the state big game harvest record, and removing the head before checking in the deer. He also received 21 written warnings for trespassing, hunting without written permission, and possessing untagged deer parts. Officers encountered Strange when they were called to an address on Dance Hall Road in Frederick, November 2nd, about a trespasser. Strange acknowledged he crossed onto adjoining property while trying to track a 6-point buck that he shot. Due to a subsequent interview, Mr. Strange told officers he killed an 8-point buck in early November without a hunting license. He gave permission for officers to enter his storage building on the property. They found six sets of antlers and other deer parts. Strange told officers he found most of the parts on Dance Hall Road property, but some parts came from other areas in Frederick County. Officers seized the items for evidence. Court date has not been set. Each violation carries a maximum fine of $1,500. Now, we'll watch this case. If Mr. Strange is found guilty by court of law of killing a deer illegally, that's poaching. Once he's found guilty, then he is subject to the Poaching Restitution Act, which is on an antlered deer like this, or maybe two, less than 150 inches of Boone and Crockett, inches of antler, which these are apparently, 6-point would never make the minimum 150. He may be fined from $2,000 to $5,000. That would be a restitution penalty to the state and given 80 hours of community service. So that could be a costly trespassing and poaching penalty for him. Garrett County man was charged Friday with illegal hunting and illegal possession of a firearm by an officer investigating a complaint. Officers responding to a complaint of someone shooting from North Hill Road near Kitzmiller found Corey Allen Lipscomb, 26, of Mountain Lake Park, hiding in the woods. He told officers that he had illegally killed a doe. A records check indicates that Lipscomb was convicted of a second-degree assault in 2009 and was not permitted to have firearm or ammunition. He received citations for hunting during closed season, hunting on private property without written permission. His rifle was seized. The weapons violations were charged through the court commissioner's office. The deer was donated to the landowner. Lipscomb is scheduled to appear in Garrett County District Court. If found guilty of both natural resources violations, he could be fined as much as $3,000 and be subject to the Poaching Restitution Act, which would fine him an additional $300 to $500 for the white-tailed doe and 40 hours of community service. Garrett County man was arrested on a fugitive from justice warrant Friday by officers investigating a report of illegal hunting. Officers were looking for someone hunting along Boiling Spring Road when they saw Roger Keith Pennington, 24, also of Kitzmiller, sitting with another man in a pickup truck on the side of the road. After confirming the warrant was from West Virginia law enforcement authorities was still active, officers took Pennington to the Garrett County Court Commissioner's Office, where he was held without bond. He was turned over to the Sheriff's Office for extradition. And finally, two Virginia men were charged with illegal striped bass fishing Thursday on Dorchester County. Don't make me say it. Come on. Jose Isidro Alvarado, 35, of Sterling. And Juan Carlos Perez, 36, of Falls Church, were stopped by officers on surveillance near Fishing Creek Bridge on Hooper's Island. Apparently they don't have Facebook. They had 12 undersized striped bass in their car. Each man was charged with exceeding the daily creel limit and keeping undersized fish. The maximum penalty for each violation is $1,500. Yes, they're from Virginia. Jose Isidro Alvarado, 35 years old. And Juan Carlos Perez, 36, of Falls Church. 12 undersized striped bass in their car. They're scheduled to appear in Dorchester County District Court on February 15th. Where you want to go? All my buddies are telling me about a bridge in Dorchester County. Lot of fish. We'll catch our fish and hurry back to Virginia. Let's talk to Natalie in Glen Burnie. Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I'm good. How are you?
Well, thank you. What's going on?
Nothing. Same old routine. I'm out here being in my sign bandit.
Sign bandit. Exactly. Didn't they make a movie about that? Oh, no, that was Time Bandit. There you go. So what's...
You know, they need to make one that's like, you know, that shows Storage Wars.
Yeah.
Like Sign Wars.
Sign... I bet you guys compete, don't you? You got to get up early in the morning because there's other sign bandits out there trying to occupy the same space, right?
They'll move your sign. Put their sign right in front of your sign. They do a bunch of crazy stuff.
Wow. Wow, I didn't realize it was so highly competitive.
It is.
Yeah, but I mean,
no, I'm just kidding. It's not
now, you put those signs on private property or on public land?
On public property.
Public property. Yep, got it.
Yep, the city ordinance is that we can put them out after 9 o'clock Friday evening, I believe. And then they have to be up by, like, 9 a.m. Monday morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah, got it.
Something like that is what the rules are. But on some state roads, they don't allow it anyway. They consider it littering.
I got it, yeah.
Even though we come back and pick them up, it's still considered littering.
Got it. All right. Well, Natalie, thanks for the call. Anything else going on?
Nah, nothing. Just spotting a bunch of deer riding around with my dad, as always.
They're moving out this morning. They're moving this morning, huh?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. We see a lot of them out here.
Uh-huh. Every time you're out or just certain days?
Oh, every time we're out, because we're always out. Lately they've been bedding down a lot because it's been so cold.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen them as much. But we usually do see them a lot while we're out doing
it
at night.
Got it.
So.
All right, Natalie, thanks for the call, dear. You have a wonderful day.
No problem. I'm sure you'll hear from my father shortly.
Okay. Look forward to it. Thanks.
All right. Have a good one, Alan.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. How about that? 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Well, well, well. All right, deer hunters, you really want to get mad? Go to the go ahead to the Maryland Hunting Coalition Facebook page. And this was sent to us by our buddy Lou Compton from the Maryland Bowhunter Society. We posted it twice, actually, within two posts. It's a letter from the Maryland Horse Council, the president of the Maryland Horse Council. They had a meeting this week. I think I told you about it last week that. They were talking about apparently two different bills on Sunday hunting. We know of one that they did that would end all Sunday hunting on at 10 o'clock in the morning, which is just... Well, this long letter basically poses arguments against Sunday hunting, lies that it is not an effective management tool, which it has proven to be. We're approaching the same number of deer taken on crop on Sundays as are taken on deer management permits or crop damage permits. So here's what the Horse Council wants to see. The Horse Council wants to see actions that will be effective in solving the deer overpopulation problem. Well, first of all, it's false narrative. We had Brian Eiler on here who said the deer population has shrunk by a third in the past decade because of liberal bag limits. More effective hunting, more participation from about 300 to under 200,000 animals across the state. Here are just a few ideas for consideration, especially when considered in light of the goal of actually effectively reducing the deer population. You see, they don't want anybody to have any fun. They don't want you to be out there in the woods on Sundays with your bow or firearm or muzzle loader, but they're allowed to have fun by getting up on their high horse and riding around on public and private land, and chasing foxes as another part of their activity. You see, these folks are part of the Maryland Horse Council. The Maryland Horse Council covers the entire allegedly industry, which includes, horse racing. Well, the horse racing people don't care about Sunday deer hunting. They don't give a crap. It's the trail riders and the fox chasers. Those are the two entities. And, of course, then there's the dressage people, and who the hell knows what they like other than dressage. And I'm not an anti-horse person. I mean, I know people that ride, and I like horse riders for in general, but when you get to the, quote, progressive side of things like this, here's what the Horse Council wants. Studies show that the most effective means of reducing the herd is not recreational hunting, but managed hunts, in quotes, sharpshooters. Harking back to what I told you about the PETA-backed lawsuit in Montgomery County that says sharpshooters are, you know, that's the most humane method possible. Crop damage permits are not being fully utilized, and more needs to be done to increase their use. Isn't that a private property issue? If a farmer applies for and receives crop damage permits or deer management permits and doesn't utilize them, isn't that his decision, not the Horse Council? And what more can be done? The Horse Council, in cooperation with the Maryland Farm Bureau, has actively pursued a market hunting bill that would allow and establish a method for the commercial sale of venison harvested under crop damage permits. Recreational Sunday hunting proponents and DNR opposed this, saying that it would be too effective in reducing the deer population, and damn right it would. Read my testimony online on the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Surely controls could be written into the plan to prevent the population from being too drastically reduced or eliminating, if that is a concern to some. Although there are some federal regulatory hurdles that would have to be overcome, we think this is a proposal worth pursuing. That being said, the Horse Council, in the interest of resolving this issue in a way that would be fair to all stakeholders, introduced a bill last session, Senate Bill 1061, that would allow hunting on all Sundays in the firearm season from 1 hour before sunrise until 10 a.m. Well, that's not what the bill said, but okay, be an idiot. Leaving the afternoons for other users. The bill was to come out of drafting and therefore did not, late to come out of drafting, therefore did not make it out of rules. But we intend to introduce it again this year, and we believe it will have the support of the legislature. There you go. Senate Bill 1061. Stop all Sunday hunting during muzzleloader and firearm season at 10 a.m. How do you like that, fellas? Guess what? We're going to have to fight it again. Maryland Hunting Coalition. We could use your support. Maryland Hunting Coalition. MDHuntingCoalition.org. Come to our fundraiser in March, but by then, General Assembly will be over. Or just about. So, help us out on the website. How about a Christmas present from the Maryland Hunting Coalition? And, you know, you can get something for it. You can get your tickets for, you know, the event. You can sign up for the Early Bird Special. You can get your tickets for the Kubota RTV, sponsored by Frederick and Gaithersburg and Westminster Equipment. Beautiful little $14,000, $15,000 unit. So, we're going to fight it. We're going to have to do it. It's coming back. They already declared it, and there's more. Let's talk to Joe in Westminster, and then we'll talk to Paul in Severn. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Hi, fine, Alan. Thank you.
What's up?
I have a highly curiosity question, and it is this. How intense is the motivation of hunters in other countries to go out and hunt deer and waterfowl, such as Russia, countries in Europe, and such? If you know, I know it's kind of an out-of-the-blue question, but I was curious about it.
State it again.
How intense is the motivation for the peoples who live in the different countries, such as Russia, France, or Germany?
Okay, I got it.
How big is their desire and motivation to go out like the people in Maryland, for instance?
Well, I will tell you, the people in Maryland, for instance, aren't that motivated.
Really?
Mm-mm. You see, to hunt in Germany, for example, it's like a three-year process to even get permission to hunt. When they have a rally that is something that's going to be done against hunting, they have a rally. The last one I saw was hunters dressed in hunting apparel. 11,000 people showed up to protest one particular bill in the Capitol.
Wow.
Here in Maryland, we're lucky to get 100 people to show up at a well-advertised blaze and camo day. which will be the first Thursday in February this coming year. We'll talk about it when we get a little closer. To get people to testify on bills like 1061, that's going to take away time in the woods and time away from their kids and, you know, restrict their hunting. One or two people show up, or a handful show up or write testimony if we motivate them to do so, if we tell them what's going on. But in general, people don't pay attention here. In general, I'm not being critical. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just saying it the way it is.
So it's pretty widespread, you would say, in the other countries.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, Russia. Years ago, we had a fellow that would invite Russian fellows here, and these guys would get on a train and travel hours and hours and hours to go boar hunting. You know, just outside of Siberia. You know, and the hunting in the other countries, I mean, it's a lot different, but there seems to be a lot more enthusiasm for it.
Well, you certainly answered my question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Paul in Severn, then we'll take a break. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. What's up?
Well, at first I want to touch on, kind of follow on what he was saying. I think the people of America and Maryland are lazy and take their privileges for granted as far as hunting and firearms are concerned, and they don't get out there and try to protect their rights like we should.
Well, you say to anybody, you know, the two most pressing problems are ignorance and apathy, and they look back at you and they go, well, you know, I don't know and I don't care.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was curious of, do you know what the what the harvest is so far this year?
Yeah, it's up. We did that story last week. Let's see if I still have it here somewhere. Hang on. I think it's up 24. Well, the first half of the season was down 17%. The opening weekend was up 24%. So I don't know what the overall numbers are exactly. Let's see if I have it here. I may or may not.
Because, I caught some of it last week when you were talking about it, and I was out this past week with a couple of guys hunting, and I told them.
Yeah.
I thought it was up this year.
Yeah, opening weekend, 24% harvest increase, aided by good weather on Sunday. 13,488 deer in the 2 days of the opener on firearm season.
Wow.
Yeah. What county do you hunt?
Well, right now I'm in Baltimore County on the Maryland line.
Okay, Baltimore County, Saturday they killed 180 bucks, 341 does, for a total of 521. Since there's no hunting in Sunday hunting in Baltimore County, that total remained at 521 for Baltimore County.
Right.
Carroll was 1127 opening weekend. Frederick was 1557 opening weekend. Those two were leading the pack, Frederick and Carroll County.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. And well, Montgomery County is very similar to Baltimore County with 551.
Yeah.
Anne Arundel was 312. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, up 24% opening weekend, but down in the first early part of the season, I think 11 or something percent. So.
Right.
All right, Paul?
Yep.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Good luck out there.
Yeah, I'm going out this afternoon. I haven't gotten one yet this year. Hopefully I'll get one.
Taking Jacob for sick of deer today, so we'll see if he gets a stag.
All right.
All right, buddy. Thanks. See ya.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
Bye-bye. Hey, it's Great American Outdoor Show 2017, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the world's largest consumer outdoor show. 9-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and outdoor traditions. Exhibitors and events span 650,000 square feet with over 1,100 exhibitors. You'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors. The Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg. For more details on the world's largest outdoor show, be sure to visit greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Hey, look, you get a deer, take it to JB Farms, Carroll County's newest deer processor, located in Tawnytown. JB Farms will skin and custom cut, wrap, and freeze your deer. They can make your venison into tasty bologna, sausage, and hot dogs. And guess what? We have a Outdoors and Radio Show special. $10 off your entire purchase. $10 off. So, JB Farms is an FHFH participating donation processor. JB Farms can handle all wild game, from game birds to exotics to big game. JB Farms can supply you with all natural grass-fed beef, lamb, goats, chickens, rabbits, or ducks, and even free-range chicken eggs. JB Farms. Give them a call to have your deer processed, 410-756-5656. JB Farms, located at 3523 Harney Road, just outside Tawnytown, Maryland. Give Joe a call, 410-756-5656. Just keep going with 5-6. Start with 7, 5-6-5-6, 7-5-6-5-6-5-6. You get the idea.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. You know Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
That must mean we're getting out of here. Poor time management. Get out, stay safe.